This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
Israeli genocide claims more civilian lives across Gaza as the regime continues to pound Palestinian homes, UN-run shelters, and hospitals. Rights advocacy organization says Israel has killed at least 8,000 children in Gaza during 2023, calling it the year of genocide for Palestinian children. And UN experts condemn Israel's killing of Hamas Deputy Chief Saleh al-Ruri, saying his assassination amounts to crimes of extrajudicial killing and murder.
Hello everyone, thank you for joining us here on World News.
More than 3 months into Israeli genocide in Gaza, the regime continues with its carpet bombing campaign across the besieged territory. In southern Gaza, a strip 15 members of a family were killed in the regime's latest airstrikes in Rafah. The city of Khan Yunis, which hosts thousands of displaced Palestinians, also remains the main target of the regime's unrelenting attacks. Several Gazans were injured at a UN-run school where Israeli drones opened live fire on Palestinians seeking shelter. The city's Nasser Hospital and its vicinity have also come under heavy Israeli fire. To the central Gaza, Israeli warplanes shelled civilian areas near Al-Maghazi and Nusayrat refugee camps again, resulting in a number of casualties there. And to the north, rescue teams are racing against time in Deir al-Bala and Jabalia as Israeli strikes pound residential areas. Overall death toll from U.S.-Israeli genocide in Gaza has now reached 23,210, most of them women and children. Meanwhile, Palestinian fighters are putting up stiff resistance against Israeli forces in Gaza, inflicting more losses on invading troops. The military wing of Hamas says it targeted a group of Israeli occupation forces in Gaza City, killing and injuring a number of them. The Al-Qassam Brigade say it captured Skylark drone as well. And the fighters also struck several Israeli military vehicles, including Merkava tanks. The military wing of the Islamic Jihad says it also downed an Israeli spy drone and said its forces targeted IOF troops in Khan Yunis with mortars. Meantime, the Israeli regime has admitted that at least 9 of its soldiers were killed and several injured in Gaza on Tuesday. The regime has so far confirmed the loss of 182 soldiers since the onset of its ground invasion in late October into Gaza. Resistance groups, though, say Israel is underreporting its casualties. An international advocacy group for children describes 2023 as a year of genocide for children in Palestine, where at least 8,000 kids have been killed by Israeli forces in Gaza. Defense for Children International has called it unprecedented. Rate of children killed by the regime in Gaza says number of casualties among Gaza children is expected to rise significantly due to the non-stop Israeli bombardment of civilian infrastructure and high number of children who are still unaccounted for and presumed buried under rubble. According to the group, in the occupied West Bank, at least 121 Palestinian children were killed in attacks by Israeli forces in 2023. Meanwhile, Palestinian Ministry of Education said number of slaughtered Palestinian students has surpassed 4,200. Ministry added 84 students have been killed and hundreds injured in the occupied West Bank since the onset of Israeli genocide in Gaza on October 7th. UN experts have condemned the Israeli regime for its assassination of the Hamas deputy chief Saleh al-Ruri on Lebanese soil. They say such killings amount to crimes of extrajudicial killing and murder. Two UN special rapporteurs have in a statement deplored the killing of resistance fighters in foreign territory. They emphasize there is no legal basis for geographically unlimited attacks targeting members of an armed resistance group wherever they are. UN experts argue Israel's assassination of a Hamas official was not an act of self-defense and that the Israeli regime did not provide any evidence that al-Ruri was conducting armed attacks against Israel. Saleh al-Ruri was killed last week in an Israeli drone strike in southern Beirut. Hamas has vowed to avenge his assassination, saying crime will not break the resolve of Palestinians in their battle against a Zionist enemy. World Health Organization officials have spotlighted the desperate humanitarian crisis currently unfolding in Gaza. A rep based out of Gaza says a huge number of Gazans have been directly affected by the war.
Based on the latest figures from the Ministry of Health, so we are currently talking about more than 23,000 fatalities, of which 70% women and children. So that is actually 1%. You talk about 1% of the population in Gaza. We also talk about almost 59,000 people injured, which is close to 2.7% of the total population. So then you're talking about 3.5% of the population very much affected, directly affected.
Another WHO representative says that they're witnessing a health system collapsing at a very rapid pace. Sean Casey also voiced concerns about possible collapse of hospital provisions in southern and central Gaza. He said patients were risking their lives to get to hospitals in the southern city of Khan Yunis because of the ongoing fighting. We have spoken to people in Kuwait about the Israeli regime's ongoing genocide in Gaza.
The situation in Palestine is disastrous in all forms. I stopped watching the news because I am traumatized by what I am seeing. This is genocide, and I feel the international community is not doing anything. There should be more pressure on Israel to stop this genocide of people. They are deleting and erasing Gaza one block at a time, destroying hospitals and centers. Israel is committing a crime by killing children, women, and everyone there. What is happening is a disaster, and I hope there will be an Arab or Islamic unity against all this. I urge the international community to do something immediately. I do not deny that I am happy with what Hamas is doing. I believe in their resistance. Since the 40s, we have been struggling with Israel. Israel is eradicating Palestine. Israel is a cancer in the Arab world, and we should remove it.
I think the solution is very clear. We all know it, and we all feel disabled, incapable of imposing it. Israel has to stop this war, and there has to be a sustainable peace solution, not at the expense of us, because peace has been used and manipulated as a term to impose Israeli agenda.
I'm sad. They are killing innocent children and women, and people are merely watching. That's unjust. We have to do something. There are people, like family, they are part of us. But I'm not seeing anyone doing anything, as if the world has collectively agreed to kill Palestinians. This goes against Quran, against Islam, against everything humanity stands for. We hope for some movement from those leaders hiding under their beds. Let them do something for those poor people in Gaza. Where should they go? Wherever they go, they are bombarded. And the children, oh my God, I'm so angry and sad. All of Kuwait shares in this sorrow.
What I'm witnessing on TV is beyond my imagination. It's too much to handle, and I pray that God helps the people of Gaza. There has to be an international community to stop this killing, a ceasefire or something. It's winter now, and children need comfort and security, and someone must do the right thing. In Gaza, children are dying, and they are the main victims of this war, and this is very hard. Everyone feels the same way. We are all the same, and we feel for the Palestinians and understand what they are going through. We are humans. We have a heart. What's happening goes against humanity.
Lebanon's Hezbollah resistance movement has categorically denied Israeli media claims that the regime assassinated head of the movement's drone unit. Hezbollah said in a statement Israel's claim is completely unfounded. An affirmed head of its drone unit has not been targeted by an assassination attempt. This after earlier Tuesday, the movement said it targeted an Israeli military base with kamikaze drones. The attack took place in the city of Safad in the northern occupied territories. Hezbollah said the strike was to avenge assassination of its senior commanders by the regime. Movement added it also targeted an Israeli military base in the town of Hanita and several other positions. Areas along the southern Lebanese border have been scenes of exchanges of fire between Hezbollah and Israel since the regime began its bloody onslaught on Gaza back in early October. Thousands of mourners have attended a funeral held for senior Hezbollah commander recently slain in southern Lebanon. Lebanese mourners attending the procession have emphasized their support for the Hezbollah resistance movement in the face of Israeli atrocities. Let's take a listen to some of them.
As in Eid al-Shab, the Israeli occupation tried to intimidate the crowd of mourners, but the mourners didn't care and ignored the provocation. Rather, more people came to take part in the funeral as a challenge to the Zionist enemy, even though several drones were flying over the crowd who came to mourn martyr Wissam al-Tawil.
My message is that we will never be afraid, because to stop is to betray our martyrs. We will continue to resist until the last breath and the last generation to remove Israel from the map and hold our prayers in Al-Quds, as promised by our leader, Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah. We won't be humiliated and will continue to live with pride and dignity under the leadership of Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah.
Leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution has hailed Palestinians for their steadfastness in the face of ongoing genocide in Gaza. Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei said the resistance of some 2 million people in small territory has frustrated the U.S. and Israel, a regime dependent on Washington. He also said the Israeli regime has reached none of its goals after committing nearly 100 days of war crimes in Gaza. Ayatollah Khamenei also touched upon the necessity to find those who were involved in a deadly terrorist attack in the Iranian city of Kerman on January the 3rd. Leader called on Iranian officials to bring those to justice involved in the attack. Ayatollah Khamenei was addressing a gathering on the anniversary of the historic uprising in the holy city of Qom about a year before victory of the Islamic Revolution. Leader said uprising paved the way for the overthrow of the then tyrant regime. Iran's foreign minister says that Washington is laying the groundwork for a wider military presence in the region by drafting an anti-Yemen resolution at the Security Council. Hossein Amir Abdullahian made the remark in a phone call with his Russian counterpart, Sergei Lavrov. He emphasized the importance of international maritime security, but pointed out recent developments in the Red Sea are an outcome and a reaction to U.S.-Israeli genocide in Gaza. Lavrov, for his part, referred to U.S. full-scale support for the Israeli regime's onslaught in Gaza, saying Americans are not interested in resolving the root cause of this crisis. Yemeni army has in recent weeks launched a series of attacks on several Israeli-owned and Israeli-linked ships in the Red Sea. It says attacks are in retaliation for the Israeli genocide in Gaza and will stop once the bloodshed ceases. Political analyst Hakime Sagaye-Biria says genocide in Gaza has been a wake-up call for people worldwide to stand against imperialism.
In Iran and also in Gaza and around the world, with public opinion experiencing a wake-up moment, we are witnessing people calling for the world to move beyond Eurocentrism, to move beyond this Western-centric mode of living in which the life of some people is regarded as more worthy compared to the lives of others. We are seeing in Gaza that after 100 days of Israeli bombardment and, of course, with the direct management of the United States in these atrocities, with more than 20,000 lives lost to the cause of the Palestinian freedom. What Ayatollah Khamenei today reiterated, something that he has been talking about over and over, is that it is people's power that is going to make the difference at the end of the day. This has been the case in Iran, and it is going to be the case in terms of the Palestinian struggle.
U.S. President is facing growing internal dissent over his handling of Israel's onslaught on Gaza, this time during a campaign speech at the site of a racist shooting in South Carolina. Protesters made a blistering attack on Joe Biden for ignoring the loss of innocent Palestinian lives.
Under assault in America. As a consequence,
so is our freedom, our democracy, our very country, because without the truth, there's no light. Without light, there's no path from this darkness.
If you really care about the lives lost here, then you should honor the lives lost and call for a ceasefire in Palestine.
Ceasefire!
Protesters were ushered out of the church where white gunmen killed 9 African Americans in 2015. After protesters were let out of the building, some attendees started chanting 4 more years in a show of support for Biden's bid for re-election. U.S. President claims that he is working with the Israeli regime to help end the onslaught on Gaza. There's widespread condemnation of his administration's policy both at home and abroad. U.S. has unequivocally stood in support of the Israeli regime since it launched its bloodshed in Gaza. Support includes providing Tel Aviv with endless weapons and vetoing UN resolutions to end the genocide in the coastal sliver. As Israel's brutal onslaught against Palestinian people in Gaza continues in Italy, the appointment of a pro-Zionist entrepreneur and honorary consul of the regime as president of a pediatric hospital foundation in Florence has caused an uproar. Max Civilli reports out of Rome.
Florence's Mayor Pediatric Hospital Foundation is known in Tuscany for its care of critically ill children. In October last year, the honorary consul of the Israeli regime for Tuscany, Lombardy and Emilia-Romagna regions, Marco Carrai, was appointed as the president of the hospital foundation in Florence. Carrai has never concealed his full alignment with Benjamin Netanyahu's brutal policy in the Palestinian-occupied territories. Following Israel's atrocious campaign in Gaza, where more than 10,000 children have been slaughtered over the past 3 months, tens of doctors and healthcare workers launched an online petition calling for Carrai's immediate removal. More than 7,000 people have signed the petition so far, according to the UN. Hospitals and other vital medical infrastructure in Gaza and the West Bank have been attacked nearly 600 times since war erupted in the territory.
Meanwhile, the international medical care organization Doctors Without Borders has been forced to evacuate its staff from Gaza's Al-Aqsa Hospital. The hospital, which serves as the only functioning medical facility in Gaza's central area, has been subjected to relentless Israeli bombing and artillery fire, branded by many as full-fledged war crimes.
Also, medics at the only functioning hospital in Deir al-Balah governorate in central Gaza have been forced to cease life-saving and other critical activities and leave amid increasing Israeli raids, the UN World Health Organization has warned. Max Civilli, Rome.
And that's it for your latest, everyone. Thank you for joining us here on World News.
This is IRIB English Radio. With you early in the morning. With you at midday. With you till the night's end. IRIB English Radio.
ایمان را در خودتون تقویت بکنید. ایمانی که هم در اینجا شما را شرافتمند می کند و هم در پیشگاه حق آبرو دارید و با آبرومندی وارد می شید به تخت آلا.
In the path of the Imam.
Imam
In the name of God, salam and welcome to the program. If you remember, we said that a review of Imam Khomeini's views, scientific works, and behavior indicate that a very effective and important source of his success was his sincerity. In other words, Imam Khomeini did all his deeds absolutely for God's satisfaction, and he never thought of what others would think or like. To be more clear, the great leader of the Islamic Revolution only tried to fulfill his obligations and avoid forbidden acts. He used to warn that being trapped by satanic temptations stems from the lack of sincerity. He used to call on the youth to have sincerity and do everything for God's sake. It is good to give an example to show his sincerity. Years before the Islamic Revolution, a book was written by Ahmad Hekamizade, which was an evident insult to Islam and Muslims. The book was titled Asrar Hezar Sale, meaning 1,000 Year Secrets. The Imam wrote a book titled Kashful Asrar, meaning Exposure of Secrets, to show the true intention of the author and to negate the profane content of the book. But surprisingly, Imam Khomeini didn't let the publisher write his name on the book. Yet, this very act made the Imam famous among the ulema and the faithful. This is an obvious instance of the hadith which reads, "Whoever is for Allah, Allah will be for him." Another outstanding characteristic of Imam Khomeini was that he hated and even got angry with being praised. He used to say that God will reward our deeds if we have done them for him. So there is no need to seek people's praise and satisfaction. Many memoirs have been mentioned on his severe reaction against those who tried to extol him. Another merit of the Imam was that he followed his great ancestor, the Prophet of Islam, to greet people in advance. In other words, he used to be the first to greet whomever he encountered. Imam Khomeini, God's mercy upon him, was also apologetic if he made a mistake. This modest characteristic made him great in the eyes of others. At times, he would even seek apology for what he was not guilty of. And in fact, it were some of the officials who had come short of their duties and caused problems for the government or the people. He was so modest that he had ordered the officials to refrain from mentioning his name much on TV and radio, and speak of the successes and honors of the nation and the Islamic Revolution instead. Another merit of Imam Khomeini was his sociability and good behavior with all walks of life. According to the Islamic teachings, a faithful should be smiling while facing others. This was very clear in the Imam's contact with others, except those who were the avowed enemies of Islam and the hypocrites. Imam Khomeini used to smile even at the most critical and toughest junctures of the eight-year war. The friends, pupils, and relatives of the Imam say that he had even a sense of humor in gatherings and his classes. This might look contradictory in a man who was so strict, resolute, and uncompromising against the enemies. But it is a characteristic of great men of history like Imam Ali, peace upon him. And Imam Khomeini was a true follower of Imam Ali. Imam Khomeini, God's mercy upon him, was very patient at tough conditions and pains. This was evident during several times of his surgeries. Another high virtue of the Imam was his control of anger. In other words, he was very forbearing and would never get angry for personal issues. The Imam was patient in the face of those who had disrespected him, but would be very harsh at those who insulted Islam or an Islamic value. Imam Khomeini was very brave and decisive and would not fear anyone or any power when defending Islam. He was also very wise, orderly, and disciplinary in handling different daily issues. This did not mean rigidity, but it meant that he deemed high importance to the time of his pupils and anyone who wanted to see and contact with him. He used to instruct young students of seminaries to stick to orderliness and discipline in their courses and activities. He would also emphasize the importance of respecting the teachers and great ulama who had left behind very precious books and trained great generations of seminary students.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, let us contemplate upon the words of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, regarding the prime position after him of his divinely designated heir, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him. The love of Ali is a virtue which no sin can undermine, and his enmity is a vice with which no virtue is of any benefit.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
This is A to Z.
Introduction to Islamic Lifestyle. Today's lesson, Anger is Your Enemy. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Anger is neither good for a person's physical health, nor is it good for one's spiritual health. Sometimes a person gets angry at something, but is not able to let out his anger. For example, imagine a situation where, you know, a person is angry, but is scared of his life, and hence he is not capable of letting out his anger, right? Because of the circumstances, because of the limitations and restrictions. He's not in a position to exercise his anger, to make it operational, right? But now consider another situation when a person has the ability to let out his anger. And in that situation, you know, where he has the authority, he does not have those limitations binding him down or, you know, controlling him from displaying his anger. What is it that Prophet of Allah says in this regard, in this very situation? The Prophet of Allah says, anyone who suppresses an anger which could be brought into operation, Allah will give him a security and a tasteful faith in return from it. So wise people, they control their anger. Wise people resist anger. We see that Prophet of Allah said in another place that the wisest of people is he who is the most moderate, and the most provident of people is he who suppresses his anger the most. Indeed, by patience, one can attain the position of him who prays at night and observes fasting on the day. So we're talking about really good mu'mineen, right? If you can get to their status and their position by just controlling your anger and inappropriate anger, then what is better than that? Welcome back, dear listeners. Today we are discussing the topic of anger is your enemy. The scholars of akhlaq and Islamic ethics, they have said that there are different paths that Islam has provided for people to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yet, some paths are better and faster than other paths, right? In this regard, the Prophet of Allah, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, says, among the best paths to Allah are the suppression of anger and having patience with afflictions. Islam has defined various vices that a believer has been urged to stay away from. Each one of those vices are detrimental to a person's spirituality. This is something we already know. This is something that is already established. Now, what does Imam Ali alayhi salam say about the vice of anger? Amir al-Mu'mineen, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam, says, anger is a vice that, when followed, causes destruction. He also said, anger is an enemy of yours, so do not admit it into your soul. You know, how many of us consider, you know, anger to be our enemy? You know, how many of us, we slam the door at the face of this anger when it is about to enter our, you know, batin and our interior? We do not necessarily take it to be a sensitive issue. But Imam Ali alayhi salam is telling us that take it as your enemy and basically don't let it in your system. Once it gets in your system and you get used to of it, then you start using this faculty of anger in the wrong places. Of course, there's the right use of anger, which we will talk about at some other place. Right now, we're talking about the inappropriate use of anger. Thank you.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parstoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
In a shocking turn of events in January 3rd, 2020, the world was shocked by breaking news. General Soleimani, the esteemed commander of Iran's Islamic Revolution Guards Corps, IRGC, Quds Force, along with Abu Mahdi al-Mohandas, the second in command of Iraq's Popular Mobilization Units, PMU, and their companions, were murdered in a U.S. drone strike authorized by President Trump near Baghdad International Airport. Soleimani, revered as a national hero in Iran, was mourned by millions of Iranians who took to the streets in grief and anger. The funeral processions for General Soleimani and Abu Mahdi al-Mohandas drew massive crowds, with estimates ranging from hundreds of thousands to millions of people. The mourners, both in Iran and Iraq, passionately expressed their solidarity with the martyrs and their commitment to continue their mission of resisting foreign aggression and foreign terrorism. The scale of the mourning and the unity displayed by the Iranians showcased the deep reverence and respect that they held for General Soleimani and his contributions to their nation's security. Similarly, in Iraq, where Abu Mahdi al-Mohandas and General Soleimani were revered figures, massive crowds flooded the streets of Baghdad and other cities to pay their respects. The funeral procession in Baghdad saw a sea of mourners carrying Iraqi flags and portraits of the martyrs. The demonstrations were not only a display of grief, but also a powerful statement against foreign interference in Iraq's affairs. After the U.S. terrorist attack targeting the top resistance figures in Iraq, the Iraqi parliament passed a motion demanding an immediate American withdrawal from the entire country. The million-man marches that unfolded in Iran and Iraq following the assassinations of General Qasem Soleimani and Abu Mahdi al-Mohandas served as a resplendent testament to the enduring popularity and unwavering support that these revered resistance figures commanded. Despite years of foreign occupation and intervention in the region, the marches delivered a powerful message to the United States and its allies, underscoring that the resistance figures were not only revered, but also deeply cherished by their people. The question arises, what was the source of this profound popularity that propelled General Soleimani and his colleagues to such revered status? We'll be right back. The answer lies in their exceptional qualities and unparalleled contributions to their nations and the wider Middle East or West Asia. General Qasem Soleimani, the former commander of Iran's Quds Force, played a pivotal role in the fight against terrorism, particularly in combating Daesh and other Takfiri terrorists in Syria and Iraq. Known for his strategic brilliance and leadership, Soleimani directed Iran's efforts to support regional resistance movements in the battle against U.S. and Israeli-backed terrorist groups in the Middle East region. The assassination of General Qasem Soleimani and Abu Mahdi al-Mohandas by the United States sent shockwaves throughout the Middle East and sparked widespread outrage in the regional countries, particularly in light of President Trump's previous admission that the United States had played a role in the formation of Daesh terrorist group.
ISIS is honoring President Obama. He is the founder of ISIS. He's the founder of ISIS. He's the founder. He founded ISIS. And I would say the co-founder would be crooked Hillary Clinton. Co-founder, crooked Hillary Clinton.
General Soleimani's involvement in the fight against Daesh was instrumental in turning the tide against the terrorist organization. As Daesh gained ground in Iraq and Syria, he served as a strategic military advisor and helped mobilize local fighters and provided crucial military support to local forces. Soleimani's strategic guidance and coordination were vital in several key battles, such as the liberation of Tikrit and Fallujah in Iraq and key flashpoint cities including Aleppo in Syria. His expertise in asymmetric warfare and knowledge of the region's complexities allowed him to effectively counter Daesh advances.
If General Soleimani was not there to support the Syrian people and to help bring in Hezbollah and the Iranians and others in 2015, after tens of thousands of foreign fighters had come in, we'd have black flags all over Syria. And Iraq would have fallen.
Not just Syria, because exactly.
Yeah, because imagine if Syria had fallen. ISIS, which came into Iraq, they would have come into Iraq with a much larger force.
Yep, exactly.
They would have taken over the country. So he basically spared the region from these black flags, from terrorism that Jake Sullivan, the current national security advisor, knew very well.
General Soleimani's vision extended beyond the defeat of the Daesh notorious terrorist group. His unwavering focus encompassed the fortification of resistance movements throughout the region, recognizing that supporting local groups engaged in a valiant struggle against foreign occupation was indispensable for achieving lasting regional stability. Soleimani's profound influence was evident in his tireless efforts to establish and cultivate alliances with various resistance movements, such as Hezbollah in Lebanon, Hamas in Palestine, and Ansarullah in Yemen. These strategic partnerships served as a formidable counterbalance against the machinations of extra-regional powers, most notably the United States' covert agenda to reshape the Middle East with Israel at its core. By championing the self-determination rights of regional nations, Soleimani confronted these insidious plots head-on.
The Yemeni people in Sana'a and Sa'ada have come out and will come out everywhere to condemn the American crime in violating the sovereignty of Arab and Islamic countries and in targeting the leaders of the resistance like the great martyr, the martyr of the nation, martyr Qasem Soleimani, and the great warrior Abu Mahdi al-Mohandas. The Yemeni people have come out to ensure that the slogan of Death to America is on point, to say that America is the one that sponsors terrorism and creates criminals, and also to ensure that people reject American policy and its presence in the region.
General Soleimani's invaluable contributions to Hezbollah, the formidable Lebanese resistance movement, proved instrumental in its relentless struggle against Israeli aggression. Through his strategic acumen and support, Soleimani empowered Hezbollah to effectively thwart and repel Israeli incursions, thereby safeguarding the sovereignty of Lebanon. His visionary guidance and unwavering commitment transformed Hezbollah into a potent force capable of deterring Israeli encroachments. General Soleimani's dedication to support the oppressed people against bullying powers extended beyond the borders of Lebanon, as he lent his formidable expertise to bolster the Palestinian resistance movement. According to the leader of Palestinian Islamic Jihad resistance movement, Ziad al-Nakhala, General Soleimani made great efforts to fortify and expand the axis of resistance. He was primarily concerned with the Palestinian issue, strongly in unity within the Muslim world, and viewed Palestine and liberation of the occupied holy city of Al-Quds as a gateway to such unanimity. By fortifying the resistance in its steadfast struggle against Israeli occupation and in defense of Palestinian rights, Soleimani not only enhanced the group's capabilities, but also showcased Iran's resolute commitment to the Palestinian cause. In doing so, he fearlessly confronted Israel's hegemony in the region, challenging its oppressive grip and igniting a beacon of hope for the oppressed Palestinians yearning for liberation. Soleimani's support for Hamas stands as a testament to his belief in justice and his pursuit of freedom for all subjugated peoples.
The Islamic resistance movement Hamas condemns the crime that was done by the United States of America by assassinating the Iranian major military commander Qasem Soleimani, who had a prominent and manifest role in supporting the Palestinian cause and resistance. This crime expresses the American debauchery in the region and a violation of the sovereignty of Arab countries. It is a way to stir discord and tension in the region to serve the interests of the Zionist enemy.
In the face of Israeli siege and restriction, Soleimani's support for the resistance movement in Gaza, led by Hamas, proved crucial in fortifying their resolve and strengthening their capabilities. By providing invaluable expertise, he empowered the resistance movement to confront Israel's oppressive hegemony, reviving glimmers of hope for the besieged Palestinians yearning for liberation and establishment of their own independent country. Soleimani's legacy as a visionary leader and strategic mastermind will undoubtedly continue to shape regional dynamics for years to come. His commitment to the fight against terrorism and the promotion of self-determination stands as a testament to his enduring impact on the Middle East and the world at large.
Life is full of choices. Choose the best option. Visit us at parstoday.ir/en. IRIB English Radio.
in the limelight.
The Zionist regime's violent siege of Gaza has led to chronic food shortages and skyrocketing prices, forcing Gazans to go hungry. Now 50% of Gaza is at risk of starvation. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for the second part, please. The New Arab Road in the heart of the Al-Karama neighborhood in the north of the Gaza Strip, Ebtesam risks her life to find a much sought-after ingredient, salt. Nearly 3 months into the Zionist regime's war on Gaza, the besieged enclave is faced with critical food shortages and exorbitant price rises, leaving hundreds of thousands at risk of starvation. The 37-year-old mother of five told the New Arab, "Less than a month ago, I could buy a kilogram of salt for a shekel. Now I pay 2 shekels for 2 tablespoons of salt. Most of the markets have been bombed. Salt is now scarce. We suffer from the severe shortages for the most basic of items. A 50-kilogram bag of flour has increased from 60 shekels to 700. We needed to eat, so I sold my most cherished possession, my wedding ring," she said. "In return, I bought flour. The 50-kilogram bag is only enough for 1 month. It's no exaggeration to say that flour is now worth as much as gold." On October 20, less than 2 weeks after October 7th, Ebtesam was diagnosed with breast cancer. She was scheduled to begin chemotherapy on October 23rd. Ebtesam explained, "Following the diagnosis, I was meant to adhere to a strict dietary regimen, which included increasing my intake of fruits, vegetables, whole grains, and low-fat dairy. However, the soaring prices resulting from the war have posed an ever-mounting challenge for Ebtesam to find the essential nutritional components. Neither she nor her husband are employed, and their sole reliance has been on the assistance extended to them." She said, "Prices have shot up. I used to get a kilo of oranges for 2 shekels, mandarins for 2 shekels, and strawberries for 2.5 shekels. But ever since the war, fruit prices have jumped 5 times what they used to be." Ebtesam sighed, "My doctor also emphasized the importance of protein in my diet. However, today, 1 kilo of turkey breast is 55 shekels compared to 20 shekels pre-war. I can no longer afford this dietary regimen. If I had to choose between buying chicken breast for myself or pasta for my children, I would opt for the pasta. If I am meant to die, so be it." Since the onset of the war, Ebtesam has lost 9 kilos of weight due to food scarcity, and inflated prices take a toll on her family. She said, "I was 80 kilograms, today I am 71. Soha Abdul-Al shared the challenges she faces as a mother caring for her son Majd, a 1.5-year-old diagnosed with polymyelitis since birth. The 28-year-old mother is currently displaced, living in a tent in Khan Yunis. Soha is struggling from the financial strain they face during the ongoing surge in price. She said,
I cannot afford the prices of diapers, baby powder, and milk. The cost of one bag of diapers has surged from 10 shekels to 30 shekels, and a can of milk now costs 50 shekels instead of 20 shekels. Sohar relies on milk provided by UNRWA, but it is insufficient. She emphasized the soaring prices of essential items, particularly Celerac, a milk substitute. Desperation led Soha to depend on the generosity of a neighbor who shared the milk substitute from their UNRWA aid, providing much-needed relief. Highlighting the impact on food options, Soha said, "Even potatoes, my son's favorite meal, have become a luxury. Before October 7th, I could buy 7 kilos for 10 shekels. Today, 1 kilogram costs 15. The rising prices and limited resources present a grim reality for Soha and her son in their current circumstances. Mohammad Al-Khaldi, a doctor from Gaza, highlighted the critical impact of malnutrition on the health of children. The doctor explained, "The lack of nutrients leads to the deterioration of children's health, resulting in anemia. This necessitates the child's admission to the hospital. The impact is more pronounced on children afflicted with polio, as nutritional deficiency results in anemia and a loss of body weight, particularly in muscle mass. Children with polio are generally frail, and this nutritional deficit may ultimately lead to a gradual decline in health and, in severe cases, death." Samir Abu Musa, a retailer from Beit Lahia, said, "The prices massively increased days after war started. In the northern part of Gaza, there are no food resources and the aid is so limited because the Zionist regime imposes restrictions on the movement of aid trucks there. Most wholesalers have shifted to the south, leaving only a few in the north, selling at inflated prices, especially with the absence of governmental oversight." Eye on Islam.
Assalamu alaikum, peace be upon you, and welcome to Eye on Islam, the show where we look at current affairs through an Islamic lens. Each week we evaluate a trending news story and we break it down from an Islamic perspective. The world, and in particular the Muslim world in the global south, is marking the fourth anniversary of the assassination of Iranian General Qasem Soleimani at Baghdad Airport in January 2020, a murder that took place on the orders of former US President Donald Trump and at the behest of the Zionist regime. On today's episode of Eye on Islam, we take a look at a man who for many represented the personification of bravery, masculinity and faith in God, and in particular at how he interacted with the followers of other religions during the course of his life. First, we begin with a biography of the man who was known as the Shadow Commander.
Qasem Soleimani was born on March the 11th, 1957, in the province of Kirman, situated in the south of the Islamic Republic of Iran.